Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first show of The Fabulous Medium with Dustin Livers, with your host, Dustin Livers. I know, you really had to guess there, didn't you? So, this show is going to be a little different than the rest of my typical shows. I used to actually have a show about 3 or 4 years ago on Blog Talk when I first started, and I titled it Spiritual Talk. But I noticed that we didn't really talk a lot about spiritual stuff. It was more about the readings that were done over the air, kind of explaining to people what I do, what my job is, asking for just kind of general advice in their lives. So I titled it The Fabulous Medium this time. This show, though, is going to be a little different than my typical shows because I'm going to be talking about my life and how I got to be here and how I got on my road to becoming a medium. So I'm very sorry. One of the callers already that I took earlier before we aired was really disappointed I wasn't doing readings today. So I'm really sorry. But I am going to be taking 2 to 3 callers with questions that they have about my personal life. So I really wanted to have this show to be able to give back to the people who are listening or following me, because I don't really have a lot of time to meet with my typical clients to actually explain to them kind of like who I really am. So they know me professionally, you know, as a working medium, but they don't really know me. And so I want to really give that back to people so they can really get a sense and a feel for who I am, what I do, everything from my hobbies to what I personally believe in to, you know, my day-to-day lifestyle. So that's really what I want to accomplish here today. So I first discovered that I was a medium when I was 19. So I seriously had no idea, no clue. I mean, I cannot say that enough, because people always say, well, how do you not know? I'm sure there were signs, you know, you don't just wake up one day and become a medium, you know? So when I started looking back, I was like, you know, really analyzing some stuff, really thinking about how I was when I was younger, I suppose there were some signs, you know. So I can remember living on Sky Court in South Bend, Indiana. That's where I was born. It's a tiny, tiny town, but we're known for having Notre Dame. So I don't know if there's any Fighting Irish fans out there, but that's where I live. So when the games are happening, then that's when people know, oh, yeah, I know South Bend. It's because most of them are Fighting Irish fans. So, but when I used to live there on Sky Court with my father, I was probably, let me think here, 8 or 9, and I can remember being in my bedroom, and I would see what looked like shadowy silhouettes of people, and I didn't know what they were, you know. I'm freaking like 8 or 9 years old. I have no clue, right? So I'm like, you know, I remember I was very nervous. I had some anxiety even when I was younger, and I had to sleep with a nightlight on. I also remember that the shelves in the room could not have open spaces against the walls because I thought, oh my God, there could be something in there. Something could be hiding. Something's watching me. I can remember having that feeling when I was that young, even 8 or 9. And so I would actually move as a little boy, move the shelf over so it was against the wall. I also remember blankets couldn't be over the bed. They had to be open so I could see underneath the bed. Same with closets. Closets had to be open, or I had to check the closets before because I would always see these shadows in the room. So, I mean, I was always, didn't know what it was, nervous about it, but my dad would come in and he would say, "I know a way to get rid of the monsters." And I was like, "Okay, I'm game. Let's, yeah, I'm like, okay, you're good." A sense of relief is finally coming my way. And I remember he would give air freshener, just like Glade or, Wick, something from Walmart, and he would spray it all around the room and he would say, This is gonna protect you. This is gonna get rid of the monsters." And I remember feeling just a wave of relief when he did that. I was like, "Yes, that's what I need. I need this protection, I need this to go away." That was probably my first sign. I can remember I didn't even know the word psychic until and you guys are gonna love this, until I watched Pokemon. So I know Pokemon's making a huge comeback right now because of the new release of Pokemon Go for iPhone, everything. It's like the number one app right now, like I think in the world actually. I believe so if I remember that correctly. But I remember watching it and I knew what that word was. It was the first time I could put a name to it, to what maybe I was feeling, what I was experiencing. And I can remember being on the school bus going to school, and this kid also liked Pokemon. I can't remember his name. I was like 8 years old, and he was like, "Oh, well, what psychic is kind of like this." I can't remember even what he said, but I remember he was explaining it to me. And he said, "Why don't you try it?" And I said, "All right, I'll try it." And so I don't know, I have no idea. Okay, this was like 15 years ago. I was 8, but whatever I said, I remember the look on his face. And he was like, "Yeah, that, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. No, I understand what you're saying." And I was like, "Really? You understand it?" And so now when I go to groups or conventions or workshops and stuff, I tease people because I say, "I think my first reading was actually done on a school bus when I was about 8 years old on a different kid, and I had no idea what even happened in that reading, but I was freaking 8." So that's a true story. I swear to God, that actually happened. But yeah, that was when I could first put a name to something that I was feeling. Because I'm gonna be honest, my mom's side was Catholic. Okay. Now I do understand that Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, is also Catholic, but those are the conservative Catholics, okay? So they weren't very open about any of this. And my dad is a non-denominational Christian, but me and my brother, I do have a brother. I have one sibling. He's younger. He's a wonderful guy, kind of sheltered, closed off. He is autistic, but he has such a great heart. But I remember my dad never really gave us spirituality, even. I mean, no religion at all, but not even spirituality. So sometimes I wonder to myself, my God, how did I get here? My job is all about not only being a medium, but being a spiritual therapist for people. I have clients that come into my office that have told me things that they've never said to anyone else. I mean, I did a group reading a week ago, maybe two, well, it was a week ago, in Granger, fancy house. Oh my God, beautiful. But when I went in there, they're all giving me all kinds of wine. I couldn't drink the wine that time because I was so tired. I was like, "No, I can't fall asleep." But my God, the beautiful picture frames, fireplace, just the whole nine yards. And the woman said to me, "I've never said this before." And I said, "Okay, but I heard the voice of God 2 times in my life." And that's the kind of thing that I get now. People sharing these personal, personal stories that they've never told anyone. They're not their family or friends, not even sometimes their own therapists or counselors. You know, they feel safe because I get it. You know, this is what I do. You know, I don't know if I necessarily talk to God, but I know I'm talking to somebody, and it seems like it's your loved ones. I'm pretty sure, and I'm willing to say, yeah, I do believe that I am connected to your loved ones. So we never had any of that. Never, never had anything. So I didn't have an outlet. I just kept it all in. You know, I didn't really share it. I remember I told my dad when I was 9, I think I was 9, that I was psychic. And I remember what he said. I do remember this because it took a lot of courage for me even at that age to go up to him. And he said, what number am I thinking of in my head? And I told him, I said, it doesn't work that way. And he just kind of laughed, and we never talked about it again until I was like 18 doing readings. Okay. So that was my childhood. We moved around a lot. I mean, you can hear this. Most mediums that I know did not have the charming childhoods. Most of them did move around a lot. They had their own challenges in life. I don't like to say issues or problems because that makes it seem like it needs fixing, but it's not being fixed. It's just working on your stuff, you know, and because everyone's got stuff, but most mediums that I know had stuff at a younger age than your typical, I don't know. I don't want to say non-medium, but we had our own challenges. And I can speak for myself. I know. And from the mediums that I know and the foundation, you know, they didn't have the best childhoods either. I'll expand on that in a second. And the mediums and I know that I met in the Arthur Findlay College in England, they shared with me some experiences too that they've had when we were eating lunch together or whatever. So I am actually not your typical medium. So I am accredited by the Forever Family Foundation. You guys can Google this, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. They're a nonprofit organization who seeks to show scientifically that there is consciousness beyond what we call death. So we do this by the process of mediumship. So there is a test that you can take if you do feel that you are a medium, but not just a medium, a competent medium, one who feels that they are fully developed, and an ethical medium as well. So you're not going to go up to people and be like, your husband's cheating on you, you know? You're not going to go up to somebody and be like, oh, you know, I know why this is happening with your sister, and you know, there's a secret you need to know about. You know what I mean? You can't do that, okay? I have problems with that, and I think you should too, actually. Anyway, so it's a test that you can take, it's developed by psychologists, parapsychologists. I think there's some doctors, some people with grief training, and other mediums. And so it's totally free. So I always push any medium that I feel is at that level to take this test because it's totally free. There's nothing, it's just there. So people have a resource to find mediums that are real, grounded. They're not going to give you a bunch of shit, to be able to cope with the loss of someone. So that's the foundation. And Teresa Caputo's a member with us. Kim Russo on The Haunting Of is a member with us. And my personal friend, Laura Lynn Jackson, that I love. I love this woman. I knew her before she was famous, whose book, The Light Between Us, is now at every single Barnes & Noble in this country and I think in like 20 others. So I hope she's listening because if she is, she needs to message me and tell me and I will totally get her on the air. So, yeah. And then when I studied in England at the Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, I was able to meet other mediums from all over the world. So this is the modern day Hogwarts. Okay. We all tease each other because everyone knows this is the real Hogwarts. So we have the best teachers. I mean, ones that fly country to country to country, ones with recognizable names, Mavis Patilla, you know, Joanne Gerber, who's also a medium with the foundation, you know, the huge names, Gordon Higginson, you know, he was one of the first mediums ever. Pack Stansted Hall. I mean, people would be standing there. You couldn't sit anywhere. They would be standing all the way outside. I mean, just huge, huge deals. And these people that have that teach there now, these mediums, have gone through extensive training, not just in mediumship, but in communication skills, ethics skills. You know, I mean, these real, real concrete training. And I was so blessed. I didn't pay my own way. I was actually sponsored by my roommate, John. So my roommate that I live with is also a medium. And he was the one who actually told me that I was a medium at 19. I think he's been to the Arthur Findlay College 16 or 17 times over the course of his work. But yeah, when he spotted me, he was like, yep, you've got it. You need to start doing this, and you need, you know, and I didn't believe him, but now, my God, I had no idea what would unfold since then. So yeah, I've made lots of contacts. I know people. I'm able to bounce ideas off people. One thing that I know is that mediums, we're people too. And we have our own biases. Okay. We have our own challenges in life. We have our own worldviews. So one thing that I can tell you about is the topic of reincarnation. So a lot of people thoroughly believe with all their heart, yes, this is true. Others say no. You know, you go into heaven and you're just with God. You don't come back. You're done. You're on the other side. Shazam, you know. I will share in this online, because this show is about me and my personal views. I do believe in reincarnation. I do. But I respect full-heartedly other people who do not. And I will say this, mediums are also divided. There are some mediums who very much believe in reincarnation, other mediums who very much do not. However, that belief is not going to impact, or it shouldn't, let me say, it should not, when you're in a reading with the clients. I will say this. I have had messages come through that I myself do not agree with. I know, this baffles some people's minds. I have delivered messages in my 4 years of being a medium that I personally do not agree or do not believe with. It is not my way to decide what messages I deliver. I am simply listening to what I'm hearing from whoever I'm connecting to. And that's them, okay? So I know, this is something that people just cannot wrap their minds around. You know, like, how could you say that if you don't believe it? It's my job to deliver the messages, whether or not I agree with them or not. You know, and that's what I do. That's my job. So I am very grounded. I'm very practical. Some mediums are not. That's okay. But what I really feel is that there needs to be other mediums or whoever, there needs to be some training. We got to have training. There has either through the foundation, being accredited, knowing you're at that level, by training at the Arthur Findlay College. And we need to be ethical. It's ethical being ethical is something very core to my being, okay? I try to handle every reading in a way that I know I'm not going to cause any harm to my clients, okay? I mean, some of these things are very hard to listen to, especially when you have a parent who's lost a child. You know, I did a reading a few days ago with a girl who lost her brother, and this girl was like 19, you know? For me to channel her brother, you know, and she's so young, it's something I don't have much. My typical clients in their 40s, they may have lost one parent or, you know, a friend, but that's something that I don't deal with often. And, you know, that it really made me see, oh my God, you know, I don't want to hurt this girl. So I kept checking in with her, you know, are you okay? Are you able to handle this? You know, and she was, she did great. So yeah, that's a little bit about my childhood. Moved around a lot. Didn't have anything spiritual. Never went to church. I mean, I think we went maybe once or twice in the whole, like, till I was like 15, ever going to church. Yeah. So I actually got started when I was, let's see, about 16, and I started by meeting a woman named Susie. I won't say any last names here for privacy issues, but I do remember, and I would work with her, and she would teach me a lot. And I went to her center that she used to have in Elkhart. I won't say the name of the center either, because I don't want to give too much identifying information. But I remember she would allow me to practice some energy work in her center. And that's what really started to open me up. I started to feel things when I did the energy, started to connect with people in a different way than I was used to. It was just very, very different. I mean, at this time, I was in college. I still am. And I'm a psychology major. That was my undergrad. That shouldn't be a big surprise to anybody, okay? Should not be a big surprise, really. This was something different. This was very different. I mean, we talk a little bit about psychics working with police, I remember in my undergrad, or Reiki, just as some alternative ways. We do talk about that. Believe it or not, educated people talk about this stuff, and some of them believe in it. Yeah, I'm not going to mention any names either, but there are some professors who have talked to me about it, because they know who I am. They see me online. Yeah, so some great, great connections there. But anyway, and then I moved from that to when I was 18. I bought my first deck of tarot cards. I'm going to be very honest. I haven't done a tarot reading in like 2 or 3 years. But that's how I knew I was getting away from the cards, because I would literally get the deck, I threw the booklet in the trash, and then I just did whatever I saw on the cards. And then I started to realize, oh, they're getting me to look at the card to then be able to identify with whoever it is that I'm giving the reading to. I mean, they weren't clients at this time because I was just starting. I wasn't even charging. I didn't feel comfortable charging because I didn't feel confident enough to know that I was giving a real reading. But after time after time after time doing it all, I was able to work on it. I had it, but then to develop it. Okay, so there is a difference. There, some people, I mean, I can say this because now I'm in studying my master's in mental health counseling. Most people that go into counseling or therapy, that want to be counselors or therapists, they have a natural incline to help people already. They're great empathizers, great listeners. They already have it. But to then develop it, to develop those skills, to hone what you already have and make it your craft, that's something different than anyone else's, something that you have, that is something very different, okay, than just going in with what you naturally have. You know what I mean? So that's where I'm at. So I'm learning all these new skills. And then I'm being able to kind of bridge it with the readings. I mean, it's really not that different. I'm going to be very honest. How the client takes it is how they take it, and then it's their experience. It's my job to validate their experience, to let them know you aren't crazy. If you really did have that, I just said this to you like a second ago, and I can't tell you how many people have what we call psychic amnesia during readings, where I say something and then they ask me that question, and I'm like, listen, like a minute ago on the tape, because I record every single session too, and that's how you also know, just a little side note, that someone's real. They'll record it and they'll give it to you, so there's no going back on what they said. You'll have it forever. It's also the best advertising, because then they share it with their friends. And anyway, I can go on a tangent about this, but we're talking about me today, not the process about what it is. So, but anyway, yeah, that it's really just great. I can't even explain anything else. But I'm noticing we're almost halfway done with the show, and I haven't even taken any callers. So I do want to take a call from someone, you can ask me anything about my personal life, what it's like in my work, Anything that you're curious about? So I'm just gonna grab a caller here. This person's been waiting a long time, so I'm gonna take the caller. Hello, you're on the show, Fabulous Medium.
Hi, so wonderful to meet you.
Hi, it's great to hear from you too. Who am I talking to?
Thank you. My name is Wendy from Sacramento, California.
Okay, nice to meet you, Wendy. And what questions do you have about me or what I do? What are you curious about hearing?
Are you going to be having a weekly show, and will you be taking questions on the next show?
I am, yeah. So next show is when I'm going to start back up. This is going to be weekly. I am going to pay to have a real show, so it's not going to be cut to half an hour. Yeah, I will be actually doing readings on air, or if someone does have a question that they really want to hear, yeah, I will totally be taking that every week.
Well, thank you. I'm had the worst year of my entire life, Justin. And I have some concerns, so I suppose I'll be calling back next week, and I look forward to your wonderful show.
Okay, I am. Thank you, Wendy, and I'm really sorry to hear that. If you do feel the need, I do private readings too. If it's something touchy you don't want to talk about over the air, I do that. If you do call in next week, yeah, I can look into stuff and help you out too. So.
Sounds very nice. I'm glad you're on Blog Talk.
Well, thank you. And I'm gonna stay this time. I'm not gonna. I got a good enough schedule where I can actually carve out time per week to be able to do this. So, yeah.
That's wonderful.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Wendy. I will be hearing from you again probably next week.
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Right. Take care, Wendy.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so if any other listeners are curious, I am going to be taking readings next week and or questions that you may be having. That's totally that yeah, that's very much what I intend to do for the rest of the shows. Let's see here. So yeah, I mentioned earlier that I'm very grounded, I'm very real. I can give an example to that. So when I was giving a reading to this woman, it was probably like a year ago, and I was connecting with her mother, and I was very drawn to a lamp that's in my office. There's only one lamp. If you've been in here, you know that there's only one. I was like, there's something about this lamp. And I said, when I see it, and they draw my attention to it, that usually means that you have this of theirs, so that you have somebody's lamp. And she goes, well, my mom was a bright person. And I said, no. I like smacked the table. Okay. I was like, no, I think you actually have her lamp. I'm like, there's something about the lamp. And she thought about this for a second. And she said, oh my God, yes. She said, I have this little desk lamp of hers with, like, I don't remember what she said, what color it was, but it was one of those little old pole lamps, with the little, the pulley thing that you pull to turn it on and off. So it's an old school lamp. And she was like, yeah, I do have it. I was like, there we go. I was like, oh my goodness. So that's what I mean. Very real, very grounded. I'm not gonna, I don't get a lot of like symbols. So I've noticed sometimes when I go to like different workshops, especially like around town, not big ones, okay? In bigger cities, you usually have some. Not going to say real because it's not to take away from the small, experience, but very skilled mediums, very, very skilled ones that have done work on themselves and ones that have done work doing their craft and what they do. Sometimes when I'm at the small town ones, because I'll just pop in every once in a while to see what's going on, I'll notice they'll say, I'm seeing water. What does water mean to you? And I just have so many things that I'm just like, oh my goodness, who doesn't have a connection to water? Let's be honest. Like, I'm drinking some right now as I'm on the show, but it's like, I want to take you deeper. You've got something there. They're triggering something. You're aware that there's something with the water. But, I mean, it could mean your emotions. You know, they're overflowing, right? Water, I connect with emotions. It could mean, you know, my God, if you're doing mediumship, they, you know, poured somebody's ashes in the water. I have a symbol for that. You know, I mean, it could mean you just started on a new water cleanse, you know, and they just want to make reference to this, that they know you're doing, you know what I mean? It could mean so many things. And I hear the people saying, oh yeah, good job. You know, great. I'm going to move on to the next person. I'm like, no, you need to take it and work with it. You got to do more. There's more here. You can't just give them that. You got to push them. You know, you got to really work, teach them how to blend more, teach them how to, I'm just like, oh my goodness. You know, but it's not my place. I just kind of take a back seat and just observe. And I'm so young, I'm going to be honest, I'm 23, that they don't think anything of me. Which I always think is really funny. I feel like I'm a spy just sitting there and just like observing. But anyway, yeah, so that's always exciting. I get a little bit of, I'm not going to lie, I get a little bit of entertainment from doing that, from just kind of just sitting there and just observing, because I get a kick out of them not knowing, you know, all the work that I've done, all of the hours, all of the clients. I see 6 to 8 clients a week. And then I usually do group readings or events on the weekends, or every other weekend at least. You know, and then I do other shows online. You know, people have me guest callers. I do fundraisers. My God, you name it, I probably have done it before. You know, yeah, that's just awesome. So I do want to talk about this. So I am very much, I am an intellectual. So I love learning. I love going to school. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. I just got back from a psychotherapy workshop with my mom. So my mom was a psych major, graduated from Manchester College, in Indiana, if anyone knows what college that is. We went to this group psychotherapy workshop together. And I mean, it was powerful stuff, hearing from all people from different cultures. And, you know, there were so many tears in that room. There was like 30 something of us. Most people there were licensed social workers, counselors, psychologists. There were a few spiritual people. I remember I've seen a couple of their faces at some spiritual centers around town. I don't think they quite knew who I was, and I wasn't going to disclose that information either, because that wasn't the point of me being there. The point of me being there was learning more, being able to feel more, being able to get in touch with my emotions, and then to be able to empathize with other people. So I will just say this over the air. So I'm sure you've noticed this from the title, The Fabulous Medium. I am gay. I am single. Hopefully that doesn't happen forever. I've been single for 2 years. But you know, I know what I'm looking for. I know what kind of person I'm looking for. And it's hard to find in a small city. But I'm going to be here for 3 more years till I at least get my master's, and we'll see what happens after that. But yeah, so being able to know as one minority, other minorities have been through the same thing. And not just that, but people who aren't minorities share the same feelings. So I don't know what it's like to be a white woman, right? So I'm a Caucasian guy, but I don't know what it's like to be a white woman. But there's people sitting there that were like, oh, you know, I want to do more. I want to know. And that was just so nice to know that there are people there who really want to feel that, who really want to know, who want to take that step. It was just wonderful. So I do that. You know, I have lots of training in therapy, counseling, but mediumship is something I really want to bring to the forefront. I really want this to be recognized. And I really consider myself kind of a pioneer, because I don't know any other mediums who are licensed counselors who are doing this, and who are going to make that a part of their practice, and who can make that a part of their practice. I'm so fortunate to have resources and other people who are private practice who want to actually work with me to get me to be able to do this. So probably like the first time I meet with a client, it's going to be a reading, a regular reading, mediumship, you know, so they know. And then to have maybe a couple follow-up sessions about how did that integrate? how are you taking this forward? Now that you have some type of concrete validation for you to know your loved one is with you, what does that really do for you? You know, it's something a little different than just religion, right? Or spirituality. Not to take away from those experiences, because those are core to who people are. But, you know, for someone to be up at a pastor, right, who's behind, you know, a lectern, who is saying they're with, you know, they're with Jesus, they're with God, they're in a better place. It, you know, it's nice. It's wonderful to hear, right? You believe this. I believe it. You know, they're on the other side. They're great. But then to hear things, facts about it, right? So your mother always had her hair like this. She had this type of lipstick. She, you know, you have her purse, you know. There's a connection to California, you know. Oh, my God, she lived in California. Those things to know, you know, that's something different. And what does that really do? You know, I can't answer that because I have not done that yet. I have not actually interviewed one of my previous clients and asked them, what is that really doing for you? I hear them message me back. I have like over 60 testimonies on my website. You can go www.dustinlivers.com. You can read them all. I even have links to people's Facebook pages so you can see they're real people. They mention, you know, oh my God, this was so healing. Oh my goodness, this was wonderful. But I've never actually sat them down for an hour and said, how are you moving forward with this? What is this really doing? You know, what is that? I would love to hear. I'm not so much afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of living, right? So people are afraid to live. I remember in the group psychotherapy workshop, the one spiritual woman in my group, I won't mention her name, she said, I'm nervous about being fully enlightened and coming to be because I'm scared that then I'm just going to go poof, you know, and she made a motion with her hand going out to her side, saying, I wonder then if I'm done, if then I will, you know, die. My work is over. And I was like, I was wondering, my God, I wonder if other people think that way. If they think, oh my goodness, if I do all this work on myself, then there's no reason for me to be here anymore. And I think that's, I personally think that that is not true, but some people believe this, right? And I think, no, then your work is to help other people. Well, some people aren't in that position, right? People aren't other counselors or therapists. How are you going to do that then? And my answer to that is, haven't you met new people who just say the right thing at the right time? You're like at a bus stop or you're at the grocery store, and they just say exactly what you needed to hear at that moment. And they have a smile on their face when they say it. And those are those times that I personally think, you know, that, you know, spirit is working through these people, whether or not they're mediums or whatever, you know, and that's just wonderful to hear about that. So let's see here. So that's my views. If you haven't gotten this already, I'm very much a humanistic person. My views are humanistic. What that means is I believe people have the power to change, and I believe people have the capability to make their own changes in their own life. So it is not my job to make you change. It's not my job to fix you. It's not even my job to prove to you that this is real. My job is to know that I've done my job, that I know I've made a link to a spirit. Whether or not you agree with everything I say, or you even know things about them, I know that I've made the link and yeah, I've done my job. I know when I haven't, and I have no problem giving people a refund, okay? I have a 100% money-back guarantee. You can read about that on my website, too, because I don't need that. I have other clients. I have other ways of, you know, making a living, but I need to know that I've done my work and that I've done this for you. That's what I do. You know, but it's not my job to prove to you, and I was reminded 3 weeks ago when I had a woman come in, and I thought I did a pretty good job, okay? And I've been doing this for a long time, and I know when I've done a pretty good job. But I remember I was doing this, and I was saying, there's something about a farm. I said, I don't know what they mean, and I'm seeing sheep. And I remember this. I said this in this order. And then I said, oh, but there's something about dogs. I said, I don't know what the sheep and the – I said, is it like a sheepdog or something? Okay, so first of all, how many people have something to do with sheepdogs, right? Probably not a lot, okay? I don't even know what they look like. I heard it. I saw a sheep. I know what a sheep looks like. And I saw a dog. And then I was like, okay, there's something about sheepdogs. I don't know what they look like. I still haven't Googled it. And this woman said, oh, yeah, I was just making a comment to my husband about how we have dogs that look like sheepdogs. And we just said that. And I said, oh, I think your dad's validating this because I think he liked dogs. And she said, oh, yeah, he did. He did like dogs. I said, oh, there you go. Anyway, she comes to me like the next day and says, oh, I don't think we blended very well. I want a refund. I don't think so. She goes, he never lived on a farm. I said, okay, let me walk you through the process here. I saw the farm to get to the sheep. Okay, because if I see a sheep, I'm going to be like, I don't understand. I was blending with them. What are they trying to tell me? She was not familiar with the process. She thought, oh, you just know this or you just know that, whatever. She didn't know how it works. She wasn't allowing me. Well, she did at the time, but then later, and I said, no, you're not getting a refund. I know I did my job. I said, it's not my job to make you believe or to give you things far beyond your wildest dreams and expectations. It's my job to know that I've blended. So I said, no, she did not like that. she did not like that at all. But I'm going to treat her with respect. I'm not going to call her any names, even though she said some very hurtful things. But no, that's not my job. So I subscribe to a humanistic. They can make changes. So I'm hopefully this woman knows that maybe as she looks back or as she gets older, whatever the case may be, that she has this CD. Hopefully she didn't throw it away. And she will be more familiar with the process and she'll say, okay, you know, maybe there was something there. And there was something there. I'm not going to mention all of this stuff because that's not what I'm doing today. But anyway, you know, so it is something that, that happens. So my other view is I don't put mediumship on a pedestal. So I've heard a lot of people say all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums. I have some problems with this, okay? I'm not going to talk the whole rest of the time about this, but I have some problems. And when I studied in England, my tutor, Glenn, He also mentioned this, and he said he had problems as well. And I have to say I do. Because this is making mediums seem like they're better, that they're on a pedestal. When really, it's psychic's kind of the big umbrella, and mediumship's kind of a step below. So when we're doing mediumship, we're not only blending with the spirit, we're blending with our clients. So I am connected to the clients, but I'm also connected to this departed entity. And my question is, you know, being like a psychic, you can get a lot of other things that mediums can't. You have that more specific skill set. I mean, I can do some psychic readings, but I'm not going to be as great at them as people who just do psychic readings, right? So they have more skills. They've done this. They have time after time. I just have problems with this, you know, because the bottom line is no one really knows. So I cannot cross over to the other side and be like, oh, yeah, okay, hey, dude, what's up? Oh, yeah, I connected with you, you know, pound the fists, whatever. Okay, got your back, bro. I delivered this message to your girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to, you know, I can't do that, right? So no one really knows, right? And it's not like I can you know, I have a big problem putting myself on a pedestal and putting mediums on a pedestal too. I have such a big problem. But there needs to be a way to regulate this stuff, right? So there has to be accreditations, there has to be schooling. People got to prove, right? Well, they don't got to prove that they're real, but they have to prove they know what they're doing, right? Does that make sense? There's a difference, right? So proving that something is real and proving that you know what you're doing are two separate things, okay? You know, and you take what you want. I've done readings where people are crying. You know, I've done readings where group reading at Riverside Bar in South Bend. I'm not afraid to go to bars. Listen, I've gone to fancy clubs. I've gone to, you know, country clubs. I've gone out of state, you know, Hawaii. I've done group readings. And my God, you know, I'm not that high up that I'm not going to go to a bar, you know. If I'm going to have a fun time doing this, I'm going to do it, you know. But anyway, and I remember I was reading this woman and I said, your daughter says you have her hair. I said, I'm seeing my symbol for hair that was kept. She says, this is important. I swear to God, she goes in her purse, pulls out a locket of her daughter's hair. And there was a gasp in the room, right? So people were like, oh my God. You know, they're like freaking out. And afterwards, this woman came up and she said, you didn't prove anything to me today. I said, that is fine. She thought it was like I was going to attack her. Or I was going to be upset with her. I said, that's not why I'm here. That's not my job. You know, I'm not that insecure that I feel the need that I need to prove something to you. I don't. She was shocked. You should have seen her face. I was shocked at her facial expressions. But it was like, I don't know. I don't know what she wanted or what she thought. I have no idea. But because once I'm done, I'm done, okay? When I close the doors, I am done. They're not getting any more out of me. It's over, right? I mean, am I 2 hours? Okay, let me tell you. If you're doing anything for 2 hours, you're going to be tired afterwards. But to be dealing with all these emotions, processes, you're discovering what are they really saying, what's going on, being able to hold that energy in the space. Oh, my goodness. I can't even tell you everything that goes on behind the scenes. But yeah, so that's just a little bit about what I do, what I believe. You know, I do think that there is a God. You know, I view God as more of an energy than a he, sitting in a chair, looking down at everybody, having angels pouring him wine. Okay, when I see pictures like this, I'm just like, oh my God, why? Like, there's obviously this man, right, sitting in a chair with a long beard, and the angels are usually women, right, pouring him wine. What is that picture really saying? That these women are servants, right, to the guy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I could talk all about this for days. You know, and it's usually a white guy, right, because Jesus was totally white, right, because he came from the Middle East. Okay, I'm done. But anyway, you know, I can just totally go on about this, but I'm not going to. So if anyone's really interested in subscribing to following a lot of what I do, you can go on my Facebook. I have a public page, Dustin Livers, D-U-S-T-E-N is in the number 10, and then Livers, L-Y-V as in victory. I learned that from my mother. My mom always says that all the time, so I've just learned to say V as in victory. E-R-S. And you can subscribe. I put everything I'm doing on there. You can go to my Twitter, Instagram, Dust10, D-U-S-T, the number 10, Medium. And you can follow me. And, of course, you can follow me on Blog Talk, too. You can book readings with me right on my website. And I have an online scheduler there, so you can actually see what times I'm available. You don't have to ask. You don't have to call. You just do it, and bam, I'm going to be sitting at my desk, and I'm going to be either calling you or you'll be calling me at the specific time. that's a little bit about how to get in contact with me. I am teaching a workshop in September. I'm doing some mini readings in August. I'm doing a group reading at Riverside Bar in August, and I'm doing a fundraiser for the Special Olympics, because as I disclosed earlier, my only sibling, Forrest, is autistic, and it's something very close to my heart. So I love to do this fundraiser. All the proceeds go to the Special Olympics. And that'll be in August, too. So I'm really looking forward to doing that again this year. That'll be in La Porte, if anyone's around this area. I don't think it's worth flying out to. But maybe if Fran has me come down for the conference in New York, that might be worth flying down to, the woman that owns the Forever Family Foundation. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds. So I'm going to take another call, because I want to hear from other people about any questions that they have about me or what it's like. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey there. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Are you enjoying the show so far?
It's pretty neat, actually. Just listening to the show, besides getting a reading and everything, it's really interesting to hear stories. That's really cool.
Oh, thanks. I want the viewers to hear your first name, and then you can ask me any questions you want to know about me or my work, whatever you're interested in.
Yeah, my name is Jay, and I'm calling from Canada. My question is regarding you talked about integrity is very important to you. You know, it was interesting you say that, because I know there's a medium here that is doing a television show. And this really struck me about that is that she went up to one person and started doing a reading. And I thought that was pretty invasive, especially it's on camera and all this other stuff. So I just wonder what are your thoughts about that too. And also, about the integrity issue about that is that, do you have a thing about, you know, they're walking their own path, and if they ask questions, it's okay for you to give them the message. So I just wonder your thoughts about that is.
Okay, so there's a lot in your questions, and I could talk about a whole show about this.
Yeah.
So Jay, I do want to just do the first part there. So people going up to other mediums, going up to people and just doing readings on the spot, right? So they didn't sign up for this, they didn't pay, they're not coming in. You're just walking right up to somebody on the street or this grocery store, whatever, and you're doing a reading. My personal views, and I will say the foundation's views, are you don't do that. One of the questions on the ethics portion was, do you do that? And I don't know if I would have been accepted if I would have said yes, but I don't. And I do that because, I do think it is invasive. You know, I mean, you're talking about people's emotions, things that they may not be ready to heal from, that they're not ready to experience, they're just not ready. And that, I think, is something that you cannot do for other people. You should not force them, right? So, I mean, that's mediumship. But you could also compare that to counseling or therapy. If you just walk up to someone and you say, tell me about what it was like when you lost your mother. It's like, what the F, you know? I mean, it's like, no. Like, you know what I mean? You're not going to. Like, who are you? Why are you doing this, right? The other part, I do get where they're coming from. I'll tell you the other side. So where they're coming from, where a lot of these mediums are, they're saying, I have this great gift to offer, right? I have this amazing skill, this great ability. Not a lot of people can do this, and I want to touch as many lives as I can, because are they really going to have the opportunity to meet another medium at my skill level who can do this? And I get that too, but I, my personal view is no, you don't do that. Right. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the other side. The other part of your question I'm hearing is when you say walk own path, what that's making me think is spirit going to give us all of the answers, right? Is on the messages. Is that kind of what you're asking? Like, are they going to give us everything we need? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like the,
no.
Is that ask? Okay, the
reason why I'm asking is that if they do ask a question, they're ready to, you know, receive the answers or whatever, or insight or whatever. So going in deeper into that, do you feel that you have this great gift? Is there some sort of obligation to give the messages and here's they give you the messages, and is it an obligation to give that message to the other person?
Oh, I see. So I'm going to share this with you, Jay. I have heard things from spirits that are just for me, that aren't for the clients. So you have to understand, clients lie. Clients are deceptive. Clients don't exactly know their own feelings. Okay, and so what I'm feeling from a spirit may be something they totally disagree with, because they may be in their own mind, they've told themselves stories, and that's not exactly how it is. And and they will sometimes tell me they're not ready, or don't tell them this, but I'll get a sense of something, and I don't want to exactly say it all, because I don't, for whatever reason, you know, maybe they've told them, like I've said, they told themselves stories. It's a defense mechanism, right? Oh, I didn't really mean to hurt this person. They brought it on themselves. Like, okay, that's something a lot of us tell ourselves. But listen, the bottom line is you've hurt this person, but maybe they're not ready exactly to go all the way with that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, Jay? And
yeah.
So that's my job is to see, are they ready for this? I also have to filter when I'm doing groups, especially when I have a man who I feel may be gay, especially when they're a man. And so for me to say that in a big group is kind of a breach of, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I will tell them, I just want to say this. I feel that they were not accepting of you when you were here. And I want to tell you that they are accepting now. And that's an easy way for me to kind of go around it so they, you know, they get it. You know, and maybe sometimes I even pull them to the side afterwards, especially if I remember I was, this girl was used to be a cutter. She used to cut herself. I'm not going to say that in a group reading. You know what I mean? I'm not going to share that personal information with everybody else in the thing. So no, you have great questions. Like those are great. Like you got it. Obviously you must be familiar with the process. And so that, cause those are really deep questions that you're asking. So,
yeah. Okay. Ask one more question, a real quick one.
Yeah, but we got a minute and then I got to kind of close it. So,
okay. Thank you. Can, because of this gift, if you abuse it, can that spirit take away your gifts or give you the wrong messages?
You know, I have heard that.
I was wondering.
I have had people tell me, yeah, they will pull away. You know, I think that may be true because here's the deal. There are a lot of mediums, right? I'm not the only one in the world. And thank God for that because I couldn't handle all this, okay? there are going to be other mediums that connect better or that are put in your path because that's someone that you can really connect to at that time or you really identify with. And so when you see these celebrity mediums going out on TV, like Chip Coffee, he's always someone I like to pick on, going out and doing all of this. And, some people just aren't going to connect to that. And, yeah, I do think that if you have a very, very intense relationship with someone, they're going to give you to someone who's a little more feeling. You know what I mean? Someone who's not so relying on their exact evidence-based stuff, so like physical things you have, but maybe someone who's a little more feeling-oriented, you know, so they can really process a lot.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, well, I want to thank you for calling in, Jay. That's great. I didn't know I had Canadians listening to my radio show.
Yeah, one Canadian listening to your show.
All right. Well, thank you, Jay. This was great. And I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. That was really cool. I love that guy. He was awesome. Well, you guys, I am ending the last minute and a half here. I hope you enjoyed it. I talked a lot about my style, how I work, my life, where I've come from, my family. You know, not every show is going to be like this. I will talk a little bit about myself, but it won't be as intensive. And I'm really excited to start doing readings over the air again. So I'm going to have to decide how to do that. I can't tell you right now. But again, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, my Facebook page, Blog Talk, subscribe. You can follow everything I'm doing. And you can even pop in for a reading sometime if you come in to my office, if you book an appointment, you get to meet me. So thank you all so much. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. I am about to go get some mani and pedis done with my mother. We are going to Erskine Plaza, I think. I can't even remember. She's thinking that her nails need to be done. And I'm thinking I could probably go for that, too. So thank you again for tuning into the Fabulous Medium. And this is Dustin Livers. And I will see you guys next Saturday at 10 a.m. I'm going to have the show on Saturday. I had to push it to Sunday because of the workshop training. So tune in Saturday. Thanks so much. And bye-bye now.